According to a recent report from the National Endowment for the Humanities, there's been a dramatic decrease over the last 20 years in the number of Americans who read fiction. That set our linguist Jeff Nunberg to thinking about the phrase, "I'd rather curl up with a good book," and what it says about the way we read.
Over the summer, the National Endowment for the Arts released a study called Reading at Risk. The study was based on a census survey done in 2002, and it showed that only 47% of American adults had read a novel, poem, or short story in the previous year, 10% fewer than in 1982. Among 18 to 24-year-olds, the drop was even more dramatic, from 60 to 42% over a single generation. The study evoked the usual cultural hand-wringing. A lot of people blamed the electronic media, though actually the report showed that there wasn't much of a correlation between novel reading and time spent surfing the web or watching TV. Other critics fulminated about an abbreviated national attention span or decried the influence of left-wing academics who have disparaged the great works of Western literature. In a New York Times op-ed piece, Andrew Solomon wrote that without books, we cannot succeed in our current struggle against absolutism and terrorism. And the NEA's chairman, Dana Gioia, said that the decline of fiction reading cuts people off from the collective wisdom of the past and threatens our economic productivity, our democratic discourse, and our national character. But let's get real here. The people who have been lost to novel reading aren't the devotees of Dostoevsky or Faulkner. They're the people who used to read a couple of romances or thrillers a year and have now switched to reading political screeds or magazines or have simply decided to spend more time at the gym. If that puts anything at risk, it isn't the monuments of Western literature. It's only the leisure activity that we describe as curling up with a good book. As it happens, that phrase is more recent than you might suspect, at least as applied to grown-ups. When the Victorians talked about somebody curled up with a book, it could only be a child nestled in an oversized chair, wrapped in a copy of Little Women or Treasure Island. Curling up with a book wasn't something that grown men like Herman Melville or Henry James would have admitted to. In fact, it's hard to imagine any writer curling up with a book before Marcel Proust. And it wasn't until the 1920s that adults started using the phrase to describe their own reading. True, the new usage may have had something to do with changes in domestic furniture. Victorian seating wasn't very conducive for large persons to curl up in. And it's no accident that the first recorded occurrence of somebody talking about curling up with a good book appeared about the same time that Edward Knobusch and Edwin Shoemaker built the prototype of the first lazy boy chair in Monroe, Michigan. But the phrase really implied a new picture of the virtues and pleasures of compulsive reading. For the first time, grown-ups were permitted to read the way children did, curled into a fetal position and oblivious to the world around them. The word sleuth Barry Popick recently sent me a 1923 advertisement for Borzoi Books that said, "The man who has not learned to curl up on a sofa of an evening occasionally and lose himself in a rattling good story is missing one of the supreme satisfactions of living." Since then, "I'd rather curl up with a good book" has become a declaration that suggests social self-sufficiency and a lively imagination, one of the boxes that people always tick off on the personal information forms of singles websites. Of course, most of us don't do our novel reading in the setting that curled up with a good book brings to mind, a sofa, a crackling fire, a rainy night. We're more likely to be folded up in the back of an airplane or strung up from a bus strap or lathered up and squinting through the sunblock in our eyes. But those can count as curling up with a book, too, as long as it's a book of the right sort. It can be Jane Austen or Sue Grafton, Virginia Woolf or Nero Wolfe. What matters is only that it be one of those rattling good stories. We may take pleasure or instruction from reading de Tocqueville, the South Beach Diet, or the 9/11 Report, but we wouldn't talk about curling up with them. But if that sort of promiscuous, compulsive novel reading is on the decline, why should anybody miss it? It's hard to deny that as leisure activities go, it's self-absorbed, escapist, and regressive in a particularly futile way. As Graham Greene once noted, nothing we read in later life can touch us the way books do in our first 14 years. Yet people persist in believing that losing yourself in a novel confers some special favor that doesn't come from watching a movie or playing a video game, even if the one is as lurid and trashy as the other. Elizabeth Bowen once said that in her youth, the world was divided into the readers of storybooks and the outdoor children. Outdoor children, she said, were incomprehensible to me when I was their age, and I still find them dull. I do not and cannot find out what makes them do what they do or why they like what they like. That's still how novel readers tend to think about people who prefer to use their time for other things. The non-readers may be no less intelligent or sensitive or well-informed than the readers are, and when the last novel reader has gone to the great armchair in the sky, the Republic will still be in safe hands. But it's hard for the readers to contemplate the prospect of a growing, unread America without dismay. Who will they have to talk to?
Jeff Nunberg is a Stanford linguist and the author of Going Nuclear: Language, Politics, and Culture in Confrontational Times.